Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think they'll still notionally try to pretend that they're all being very careful about budget management and getting back on track. I mean, economy is always important, but I think the impact of the pandemic and vaccinations are so massive that that's going to drive the election.
Hello, lovely people of podcasts, and welcome to the show. You are with Catherine Murphy, the host. And I'm just going to be honest about this week's episode. I have a problem, and that explains the gents with me in the pod cave in Canberra. I have no idea what is happening in the economy. I have been so busy with the pandemic and a bit of climate change and a bit of all kinds of business that I have completely lost the thread of the economy. And it occurred to me that I have not done a regular episode. You're going to introduce yourself, fellas, actually.
Greg Jericho.
And number one with a bullet, Shane Wright. And we will get to it. We'll explain why I went number one with a bullet very soon.
Oh, my God. What could possibly go wrong? Anyway, look, regular listeners will know that periodically I catch up with the lovely Shane Wright, who is at the Nine Facts Papers and who is senior economics correspondent. And I think that's the first time I've ever nailed your title in the first take.
Senior.
And Greg Jericho, of course, who needs no introduction, Guardian Australia's man of fact, charts, numbers, etc. So, yes, we're just going to catch up on the economy. So I'm just going to really throw this conversation way open. Shane, why don't you kick us off? What is happening in the economy?
Yes, Shane.
Oh, thanks, Greg. What's happening in the economy? Things are a bit still shut down, but they are going to reopen, and that's the good part. So what that means in terms of ordinary people is that there are a lot of people who are at home twiddling thumbs, feeling earthquakes and reading Rolling Stones' top 500 songs of all time. That's how I segued into number one with a bullet there for you listeners. And Greg and I will discuss the RSPECT on number one and the absence of Cyndi Lauper for
We should actually just do a music podcast.
We should. We will one day.
It is ridiculous that we even pretend these are about the economy. But anyway,
Sticking with the alleged topic. People at home reading Rolling Stone online because they have time because they can't go to work at the moment. And let's see, in New South Wales, as of last month, there were about 280,000 people who were at home for no work. There were another 300,000 people at home working 0 hours for what they said were other reasons, which aka I can't go to work. So you've got like there's 500,000 people in New South Wales right at the moment who can't be who aren't in work. That's the for most people, that's the how the economy plays out in terms of have I got work or I haven't. The Reserve Bank and Phil Lowe and co. are talking about we won't be increasing interest rates until Rolling Stone puts out another top 500 list. And you've got a budget that is running into troubles because the price of iron ore has gone south, very quickly.
Why has that happened?
I'm glad you asked. Evergrande. The humongous, I think that's the accurate description of the size of this property development company in China, which owes a casual $500 million that has to be repaid by the end of the year. Can't build, there's no demand. It's actually knocking down buildings. What do high-rise buildings contain? Steel. What goes into steel? West Australian iron ore, which 4 months ago cost you $230 a tonne. Uh-huh. Now you can get it for $90 a tonne.
Whoa.
And it's going south. So that's another big factor that's floating around, but that's for the budget as opposed to the economy in which you, myself and Greg inhabit.
Yes, indeed. Yep. Greg, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, well, the unemployment rate's at 4.5%, so everything's rosy. It's best unemployment since 2008. What, that's it?
That's the reaction I had when I saw some of the songs on Rolling Stone's Top 500. Yes.
One of the big problems at the moment in trying to answer the question of what's happening with the economy is even trying to measure it is all sort of gone up the spout because things aren't going the way they're meant to be going. Unemployment, as Shane pointed out, everyone's...
Do you go up the spout or down the spout?
Down the spout, up the spout, round the spout, round the twist.
Incy-bitsy spider went up the
garden
spout. Well,
he did, and I guess if you had a high-pressure fire hose, you could go up the spout.
I don't hold a hose, mate.
No.
Breaking with a very important check on my metaphor, which... Yeah, I'm just going to stay in my little box now.
Crash through.
Yeah, as Shane was pointing out, there was actually more people around Australia who were notionally employed but working 0 hours in August than were actually looking for work, which is not how the unemployment rate is meant to work.
No.
I mean, there is always a number of people who are notionally employed but don't have any shifts and aren't bothered to look for work because they know shifts will probably come back the next week or next month or they're right. Generally, that's about 60,000 a month. In August, it was 620,000. So it's a slight jump. The problem is knowing how is that going to get back to normal, how soon. We've got all the, what are you called, the map, I guess, for...
The four-phase reopening plan,
Greg. The reopening plan.
Yes. Which may or may not be informed by the Doherty modelling, depending on who you talk to.
I mean, last year it actually did kind of snap back fairly quickly.
Yeah, it did.
The worry is with Delta, it's going to be a little bit tougher, but it makes it hard to work out, are we really in the crapper or is it just we just have to get past this and everything will bounce back and it's...
I'm relying on the Pons Institute, their map out and just see how
they
that goes.
They have been suspiciously quiet.
I know.
Questions need to be asked.
Where is the hyaluronic acid?
So
people are going to ask, what the hell's the Pons Institute?
It really is a case of trying to measure where things are in stasis at the moment. Everything's sort of stopped artificially. Does that mean the economy's going well? No. Does that mean the economy's terrible? I don't know. You know, it's... God help the poor boffins at the Treasury trying to work out what things will be this time next year.
I think we can say that
without too much fear of contradiction that interest rates aren't going anywhere for a long time. What that means for house prices, who knows? But if anything,
I think we could guess.
If anything tells us about house prices in a pandemic, is that reality and house prices have got nothing to do with each other. So it's all a bit weird.
I'm going to segue into house prices because pre-pandemic, one of the key arguments about house prices had been that immigration is one of the key issues.
Yes, indeed.
We've got all these people flooding in. What the hell has happened? That argument has imploded.
Yeah.
Because we are losing people net out of the country and yet this is what's going on. Like, we have got 20% increase over the past 12 months in Sydney, 24% in regional New South Wales, regional Tassie. And I think, like, I had a piece the other day talking about, like, the average mortgage alone has gone up $200,000. And I've got pundits saying, oh, it's housing. Still, the affordability is not out of control. I'm going... Someone's got to pay back this. Like, people are taking out humongous mortgages. But that's like, of all the things that have come out of the pandemic and the economic impacts, the one about property prices, and it's not just an Australian thing, this is going on everywhere, is that exceptionally cheap money.
Yes.
All of this cheap money either going into propping up, like going into the share market or going into housing. I think it's over the next 5 to 10 years, what happens to all that? What sort of macro impact it's left? I think it's going to be one of the most intriguing questions going around.
Well, it looks like the biggest bubble in Christendom.
Well, the problem was it a bubble?
I
don't think Phil Lowe and Guy DeBell are really wanting to. Then they've said we're not going to pop it.
Yeah.
And the government doesn't want to pop it either because of what would happen if that occurred. But for the love of God, you've got
it's a bit scary.
Anyone under 40 is absolutely stuffed.
Yeah.
When you feed into what's going on in incomes, and which comes back to Greg's point about, say, the RBA not lifting moving interest rates until forever, like 2024, and that's largely because wages aren't going up.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's somewhere along the line, it's got to fall apart.
The Reserve Bank keeps saying that they won't raise interest rates until inflation's consistently within 2 to 3%, and they also, obviously, wages need to be growing by more than that for prices to be going up. And, you know, let's be honest, wages are not going to be getting above 3% growth.
Well, not at all, let's be honest, because that's the experience of recent years, but certainly not in an environment where there is, you know, getting back to where we started, which is who knows what's happening in the economy. Like, that's the principal point. I mean, you need confidence. You need confidence about your viability, your prosperity, in order to, you know, give your employees a larger share of compensation. But I just, there's one point I just want to linger on here.
Another song not on the top 500 list by the Cranberries. Just saying, Linger wasn't there.
What can I do? What can I say? I'm already not in control of this conversation. What is the impact, do we know? I know there are considerable fiscal supports out there. People are getting hardship payments. Businesses are getting business support payments. Although a couple of mates of mine in small business have said to me, it's fiendishly difficult actually to get your money on the your hands on the cash. Obviously, JobKeeper is no longer, but the whole sort of methodology of JobKeeper was keeping people in, you know, attached to viable businesses that would snap back, would bounce back. Is that unquantifiable? Do we know what's happening out there? Because I don't know. Look, my mates in small business feel a bit more desperate to me than they did 12 months ago about whether or not this is going to be okay or not.
Yeah, I think that goes to what I was sort of saying about last year. There was this real sense of all hands, you know, all shoulders to the wheel. We'll get through this, and we'll be there for you. And also, when the lockdowns ended, there was this sense of, oh, we got through it. Whew, that was good. And now this one, I think everyone, us included, who is in lockdown right now, like, aren't we meant to be past this? And it does grind on you, I think. And
well,
I wonder how that's going to react when the lockdown ends. A business is going to be, oh, we're all back, or they're going to go, okay, I might just wait a little before we get too excited about investing and rehiring and expanding, because we've seen this movie before. And I don't know.
I still am relatively confident it'll bounce, just because, one, there is so much money still in
cheap money. There's so much money
in people's bank deposits because they haven't been able to spend it.
Yeah.
Okay. We know, for instance, the hairdressers, and I'm looking at all three of us, the hairdressers are going to do exceptionally well. Personal care is going to do exceptionally well whenever we get out of this, for instance. And that rush that will come once you can go out and do some stuff.
Yes. Mm.
We'll give you, and you'll see that in the December. Fingers crossed, once if we get through all these, the Ponds Institute plan, the Burnett plan, the Doherty plan, the Morrison plan, the Albo plan.
Friends of Ponds Institute plan.
Once we get all through that, yes, you will see that from October through to November. You can see that. And I think my gut feel is that this Christmas will be a really big one.
Yeah.
Because, and it goes to the psychology that Greg's touching on, that people have been ground down.
Yes.
And you could hear the relief, I reckon, once people come out.
I absolutely reckon that's right from a consumption point of view.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but the business point of view.
Yeah, it's
the
business point of view. I can see everyone.
It's sort of like the thing is, right, like getting back to the Pons Institute, Friends of Pons Institute, Doherty Institute, Burnett Institute, Friends of the Burnett Institute plans, right, what they all suggest to us is that even at high vaccination rates, even if we hit these 70, 80, 90% thresholds, right, of adult vaccinations, still need a public health response in order to control infections, because what we see in the data from Israel and elsewhere is that people, even fully vaccinated people, getting breakthrough infections, right? So hospo businesses, hairdressing businesses, like, one imagines that if this is actually a phased reopening that doesn't result in just mass non-compliance, just mass, screw that, we're not going to do that, these businesses will have capacity restrictions and other things for a period of time. So then can you know? I mean, I know this is imponderable, but I mean, you know, it's the whole purpose of this podcast is pondering the imponderable. That's what we should call it, actually.
Well, again, the top 10 on the Rolling Stone top 5, it's unponderable.
He will not be thwarted on the top 10. He will not. No, but seriously, I know we're guessing, so full disclosure to the listeners, obviously we're all guessing, but that's what's running through my mind. So what's the viability of the corner store cafe if for a number of months they can have, I don't know, 6 sit-down patrons, for example?
That's a good question, but I look at what's going on in Europe, Britain, US, for instance, Japan, where they have to paraphrase, they're living with the virus. And I don't think Australians and Kiwis, for instance, who are in the same boat as us, are that different to the family from St. Louis or the one who lives in the suburbs of Tokyo, that where the economy has come back, even with living with mass cases, large numbers of deaths. And I think part of it, again, comes back to Greg's point, the last 18 months of such a grind, people, and I think we're seeing it, some of that pushback right now from people who are in lockdown on the streets of Melbourne or on Bondi Beach. They're fed up. So they'll just say, well, screw it. And especially if they've been vaxxed, they'll say, screw it.
Yeah, like, I'll take my chances.
I think once we get to that sort of 80% level of double vaxxed, you can see there's going to be a strong push of people going, I'm double vaxxed, just
let me leave my house.
But I think where one of the things I'm interested in seeing is in terms of, given that borders still seem a fair way off being free and open, and I mean international borders, not so much state borders, is still that sense of, I wonder, when are we ever going to get back to that point where we think, yeah, I'm going to book a holiday a year in advance and I'm going to feel confident that it's good. I mean, I've had so many damn things cancelled in the past 18 months that it's like I've got tickets for a show in Melbourne next July and I'm thinking, I hope, surely by then.
I've got a neighbour who has booked, last year he was booked for a trip overseas with the family to Europe and that got abandoned. He has rebooked for next European summer because he keeps saying, Shane, what are the chances?
Yeah.
He said, but I'm going to take a punt.
The thing is,
he made money on the cancellation last time because of movement in the exchange rate. And I'm thinking, you were a smart bugger, aren't you?
God, well, but obviously someone with a much higher risk appetite than perhaps the three of us in this.
Well, he lives next door to me, so he does have a higher risk appetite straight off.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, Shane. I was just going to sort of, you know, smooth over that for you rather than just sort of shove that in the ear of the listeners. But one other point on that, right, the resumption of what we would regard as normal travel overseas, et cetera, we're well off onto, you know, I'm well off into the paddock here in terms of free-forming, but, you know, it's an interesting proposition, your neighbour rebooking his European holiday. Like, are travel insurers going to insure people against coronavirus, for example?
That's a great question. It's a great question.
And then also, so you've got that, right, can you get travel insurance? Like if you, I don't know, looks around furtively, say if you're over 50, could you... Exactly. We're all looking for the person over 50 in this conversation.
Let me get my Zimmer frame.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Well, we're only just over 50, let's be honest.
I'm just under 50,
Greg is actually still
doesn't look
south
it.
Of 50.
No, it doesn't feel it.
The years have taken their toll. Anyway, no, but there is that point, right? So can you get travel insurance? Also, it feels to me like international travel is going to be expensive for a long time as they build up capacity, right, as they build up the markets and the volumes back to where they were.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But this goes back to all the money that people have socked away.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And this is one of the things which, in fact, I articulated in the last time we did this and which ended up as a really good story and which people have said, you're right, that the closed border has become a de facto stimulus.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So as much as, right, Qantas is going to be happy and good on them and all the travel agents who do the bookings and all the other airlines involved, that'll be a movement of money out of the country. And so that will be really interesting because remember, who did best in summer this year, which was all the local domestic holiday places. You couldn't get a place to put down a tarp, let alone an Airbnb place or anything, because all the money went into the local economy. It was one of the reasons we did so well through the last half of last year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Once that reopens, that escape valve of cash out of the country, it'll be opened.
Well, I suppose, but then if migration returns then you've got some inflows then.
It's the swings and roundabouts of it all. But, issue.
But you're dead right in terms of God. Like, it'll be like a bloody, it'll be like the running of the bulls in terms of...
You're going to Pamplona.
Well, who knows?
You and your Zimmer frame. I can't wait to see it.
Can I get travel insurance? I don't know. Will I be...
I'd be more worried about the insurance for getting hit by a bull, let alone...
let alone coronavirus.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So let's think about the economy and political cycles. So we've obviously got a MIEFO before the end of the year. We also have the final budget outcome coming...
Next week.
Next week. Why don't you sketch that one for us, Shane?
The final budget outcome will
be like a thud.
Will be a lot lower. The deficit will be a lot lower because of what happened last year. The economy came back so well.
That
high-priced iron ore is all factored in there. So it'll see what the forecast was for about 160 bill deficit. It will come in maybe 140, maybe less.
However,
MIEFO will show the deterioration for the current year.
Yes. Yeah. One looks backwards, one looks forward.
Yeah, that's right. So the fall off in prices and the lockdown in iron ore prices and the lockdown that has really, I think we'll see the September quarter fall by about 4%. So the deficit in which the year you'll fight the election will go up from about, I think it was forecast about 108. They'll have to push that up to about 120, maybe 130, because we know how much money's going out the door right now from the federal coffers going out to keep people alive and keep businesses alive. That's all flowing right now. So that's that in terms of the broad number, there's that 120 bill deficit. We have never been in this space where we've run an election campaign where the government that last time ran debt and deficit is in debt and deficit. We'll go to 850 billion gross debt this week, all-time high, on its way to a trillion in the next 5-6 years. How you mount an argument about budget rectitude, simply can't. How both sides develop policy, I find really interesting as well, because if you accept we're just going to have deficits, then does that affect your mindset in policy?
Yes. Well, does it affect internal discipline in political parties on both sides?
Costing various stuff.
Remember offsets?
Yeah, that's right. It's gone. That's all gone.
Yes, it is gone.
I mean, it was kind of a little bit gone beforehand anyway, wasn't it? All the savings that they were going to...
Not to this extent.
No, but I'm saying... the old budget rule of we will...
Yeah, one in, one,
one
out.
One in, one
yeah.
out.
Well,
yeah.
like, look at the change to the increase in new... Well, I was going to call it New Start, Job Seeker, yeah. whatever it is now.
Yeah.
That was $8-10 billion. Yeah. Nah. No offsets at all.
Yes.
I think they'll still notionally try to pretend that they're all being very careful about budget management and getting back on track, although the latest Parliamentary Budget Office Beyond the Budget report shows that we're going to be in debt for a very long time. Out to 2060, we'll still have gross debt.
Will we get back to where we were, which we were still in debt?
I still think economy is always important, but I think the impact of the pandemic and vaccinations and all that is so massive that I think that's going to drive the election more than whether the unemployment is getting better, because no one trusts the unemployed at the moment. Who cares about GDP and things like that? And the budget deficit is so massive that it just, what are we talking about here? Oh, you're $10 billion better off, but that we're still $100 billion, you know?
Yeah.
It all matters when the figures are in single digits and it all seems, oh, yours is still in deficit, whereas ours is in surplus. Fighting over, you know, minute differences in massive deficits mightn't have the impact. And also, if the pandemic is still going, if lockdown's still going, if, you know, I think that's going to override it. But
or there's another catastrophe of some sort. Mount Ainslie explodes and Northside becomes, looks like the side of Mount Etna.
We're laughing.
Comes
we're,
riding over.
That's right. Whoa, boys. Whoa.
We're laughing out of a self-protection mechanism, not because we are actually indifferent to human life. Just to be clear.
And none of us live near Mount Ainslie.
Before you write letters, just to be clear, we are not at all indifferent to human survival.
But regardless of the economy, I think the economy will improve once the lockdowns and everything ease, and you can suggest that Scott Morrison will wait until it seems to be the opportune time where everyone feels like, oh, it's at least back to sort of normal. Maybe the footy crowd is kind of back to normal. It's going to be hard to hold an election if you still have people, not even able to go outside.
Canada's an interesting prototype.
Canada.
Yeah. Well, he got back, Trudeau. Looked a bit hairy there for a while, but that's an interesting prototype of how the hell you run an election campaign during a pandemic, which is another mind bender, I guess. It's sort of quite interesting to think about that. But we've sort of said this implicitly, but let's foreground it slightly more. It's sort of like we're looking at an election cycle this time, and if this comes to pass, it'll be certainly the first election cycle in my reporting lifetime where the economy and management of the economy is not issue number one.
No,
that's... Like I'm struggling to think of another... Another in my reporting lifetime.
September 11, the 2001.
Oh, yes, yeah. Security. Yes, that's true, actually. Yes, that was more tin hat than economy.
That's right. And we haven't got on to the cost of our submarines.
Our quiet, watery friends.
Oh, my Lord.
We will worry about that when we get there.
I was doing a thought experiment. How many MPs in the House right now will be here when the first nuclear-powered submarine, HMAS Kangaroo, goes through Sydney Heads?
Yes.
I don't know if there'll be any.
No. Well, we will be in Zimmer Frame.
We'll be paying for it with the special Zimmer Frame tax,
The good thing is, though, because the seas will have risen, it'll make it a lot easier for the subs to get from the ground.
I like your thinking.
No,
we won't have to worry about Adelaide because it'll be under 3 feet of water.
Well, yeah. and half of Sydney. Anyway, in happier news, when do we think, I know this is ridiculous, but let's do it anyway. When do we think the election will be? Greg, you go first.
I guess the question is, do we think they'll hold an early budget like in March or something like that?
Yep.
Which they did, which one was it, 2016?
last year.
Last year.
It was April.
Yes.
April 2.
Yes. Yeah, the last
It's tragic that I know that date.
No. Well, yeah, no. You're thinking Turnbull because he prorogued the parliament, brought the parliament back, a budget was delivered,
We had two early budgets.
That's why it's in your mind.
I wouldn't be surprised if that happens again, if all goes well.
They do an early budget. I reckon I reckon they don't want to do another budget, which is why it's very likely in my mind that on the 27th of January the Prime Minister will stride into his courtyard and say, "Hi, we're off."
Yeah, Shane. I don't disagree with you, Murph. I think that makes a fair bit of sense. I think for them, but that also means no mass death. Reopening has happened because if Christmas is not 30 people around the table but 30 people at a funeral for Uncle Reg who passed away from COVID, I think that puts you back to May.
Well, it's interesting this because I can't see them going to an election this year. I can't see it. But nonetheless, these theories do persist that they will. On that basis, in a way, that the longer you wait, the more risk there are in the variables, right? Because obviously the Prime Minister cannot occupy the office forever. He will have to face the people. One of the biggest advantages incumbents have is they choose the election timing. Obviously, if you were worried that things were going to go really dramatically south next year, then you might go early, but you'd wear the dividend for being tricky also.
I think you'd only make the calculation going early, given what's happening in Victoria and New South Wales, if you think the blame will go to the state governments, not to federal. But the problem with that is people don't differentiate and they'll just blame whoever comes first. And if first up is a federal election, well, that might get the blame. I can't see it doing while we've got a lockdown. In 50% of the population are under lockdown.
I look at Morrison has told his own troops he wants to go term.
Yeah.
Inside the Liberal Party, like the mess that is the West Australian Liberal Party, neither party has got candidates in every key seat yet.
Yeah, that's right.
Which there is always danger in racing that out. We're into the last week of September, 33 days. You've got to make a call for the first week of December election, which is really the last time you can go. You've got to make that call in the next 4 weeks.
Yes.
And that means you've lost MyEFO as a possibility, as a rallying call.
Yes.
Because MyEFO will be bad in terms of what the budget bottom line is. But lockdown is the key.
Yeah. I think if they went this year, it also brings out the questions to be, are you being, safe and, makes them look like you're being sort of disregarding the health advice and all that, which they don't want to have to be talking about. But it's either they come back after Australia Day and call it, or they have to think about an early budget. And you're right, if they don't want an early budget, then it's going to be in early March.
Yeah.
And if it's not, it's going to be in May. I guess.
Exactly. What else? What have we forgotten? We're sort of bang on the time. But what imponderables have we not yet scaled?
In terms of the economy?
Yes, in terms of the economy. Final thoughts. Let's call it that. Final thoughts on the economy.
Observations.
Mm. Well, you end up back in housing, I think.
Yes.
If there is concern of something going wrong in housing, if prices keep going up again, that becomes an election issue.
Yes, yes.
And remember, 2019 election, the government actually did stuff. They made their policy about giving money to young homeowners to make it easy for them to get into the housing market, which has worked an absolute treat in terms of, just putting upward demand on prices.
Exactly. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that's right. But that issue is there because at the end of the day, it is a huge point to everybody who in the economy about whether they can afford to rent, whether they can afford to buy, whether the value of what they own is going up or down. And then we get into wages growth as well, which is always a constant.
Yes.
And it's constantly bad.
Yes, constantly bad. Yes.
So we're really getting into cost of living issues.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so it's sort of that's interesting, isn't it, Shane? Because in a way, you know, we've all just said this won't be an economy is front and centre election, but there'll be a consumer element of your lived experience.
As there always is with an election.
As there always is, yeah.
And especially because in both parties are going to, well, perhaps not the Labor Party as much, but certainly there's always a sense of, okay, things in the past I don't care about. Tell me what are you going to do for me now, which means the economy always comes back. So, and if it is, I mean, house prices are insane.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that if the home loan growth flows through to house prices like it has for the last 20 years, we're looking at 40% growth in Sydney and Melbourne of house prices. In a year,
please don't say that.
Just,
yeah,
you know, well, certainly it's not sustainable, and and given the fact that interest rates really can't go up because the economy is not in a position for, other than house prices, the economy is not in a position for interest rates to go up at all. This leads possibly in bad areas.
Yes. The
worst thing is bad areas that neither party really wants to confront.
Well, that's the right thing. It's sort of like then you hit this sort of weird void in the Australian context of there's a completely absent Build Back Better debate here. Like there's a Build Back Better debate, and I don't just mean for sustainability. I just mean across the board.
Mm.
All around the world there's a Build Back Better debate. Strangely, in Australia, we're not there yet. So anyway, let's think about housing, and we'll end on the horns of that particular dilemma.
And I'll also mention Pink Houses by John Mellencamp was also not on the top 500 list.
I can live with that one.
You can live with that one? Yeah, okay.
I can't live with Imagine getting higher than A Day in the Life. That's just a disgrace.
Well,
guys, you know where we are on social media. Yeah. If you do have thoughts about Rolling Stone,
we can argue about Whitney Houston. Not Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston. Well, at least Whitney Houston's version of Dolly Parton's song, yeah, I Will Always Love You, very good version. They'd made it there.
There you go. Look.
But Britney was there once too often, I reckon.
Very toxic.
If you have thoughts.
Oh,
if you
boom,
have,
Tash.
If you have thoughts about the imponderability of housing policy.
I'm trying to work out if that's a word.
What?
Okay. Just let it fly.
Just go with it. The Rolling Stone list and order therein.
Mm-hmm.
We are all highly visible characters on social media. I'm sure yes, we will hear from all of you. Thank you to Shane. Thank you to Greg. Thank you, because seriously, this has been an incredibly helpful conversation for me, and I hope for the listeners as well. Thank you to Miles Martignoni, who's the EP of this show. I'm not actually sure who's cutting the show this week, but it could be Alison Chan.
Good luck.
I'm not sure. Yes, exactly. Good luck.
A lot of cutting.
Yes, anyway, thank you to whomever is cutting the show this week. I love you. Thank you. Thank you to all for listening, sharing the usual drill. We will be back next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.